Hello and welcome to our program. We're in Genesis chapter 15. Have your Bible ready if you can. Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1, we read these words: After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Well, what was he afraid of? We'll look at it in a minute. Before, listen to this message and song. It contains some good advice: simply trusting Jesus. That is all.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befalls.
Again, in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1, After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. After these things, what things is that? After the big battle where he took 318 men, he went out there and he got Lot back from those enemies. And, I mean, 318 men against those big armies, what's going to happen here? Well, he's maybe getting a little bit concerned about a retaliation. I would be. If that was the case, I think it is. It says, God said, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And then down through this chapter, we have some predictions and promises that God gave to Abraham. He said in verse 5, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou art able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. You're going to have more descendants than there are stars in the sky. How did he respond to that? Verse number 6 says, He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Well, we get down into verse number 13, and it begins to explain how the nation of Israel shall be descending from him. And in verse 13, he says, they shall afflict them, that is, the Egyptians will, and they will be in bondage for 400 years. And so verse 14 says, all that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. Now, we know the story of how Moses led them out of Egypt many years later. He said in verse 15, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Well, down in 18 it says, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. And he has all these predictions and he has these promises, and the Bible says he believed what the Lord had to say. Well, get into chapter 16, and it starts out with these two words, now Sarah. Well, Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Now, I've said many times before, and I'll say it again, there's two positions in this world. One is authority, and one is influence, and influence can be more powerful than authority. Abraham was the influence, and Sarah was the influence. She has no children. It's been 10 years since God has promised him that he's going to have all these descendants, and they have none. And so she had a handmaid, it says here, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And so where did she get this handmaid? Very obvious. It tells us here she was an Egyptian. So when he went down, that is Abraham, went down into Egypt and made a fool of himself and was a very bad testimony for the cause of the Lord, they brought back this Egyptian with them. Her name was Hagar. She is one of the results of Abraham's failure when the famine came along. Well, we read in verse number 2, and Sarah said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Well, behold now. That's God's term. You'll find over and over again, God said, behold now. It's a term of authority. Well, she seems to be having a bad attitude about things here. Behold now, she's saying to her husband. That's not the way it's supposed to be here with her, but that is the way it is. She said, go into my maid, maybe that I will obtain children by her. Well, Abraham said, no, of course that's wrong. You know for sure that that's wrong. We're not supposed to do that. God made that very plain way back at the beginning. I wish it said that. No, it doesn't say that. It said, Abraham hearken to the voice of Sarah. Well, we have a repeat here. It says back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7 that Adam hearkened unto the voice of his wife. Once again, we have authority and we have influence. Influence can be more powerful than authority. Well, in verse number 3, we read, Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. Now, we notice the phrase here, Abram's wife, in verse 3. And Hagar's maid in verse 3. And it says that she gave him to her husband to be his wife. Well, she was not his wife in God's eyes, even though they wanted to pretend that that was okay. We'll see that as we go through this chapter. And it says he went in unto Hagar and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress, that is Sarai, was despised in her eyes. That word despised has been translated light thing 5 times. She became a light thing in the eyes of this Egyptian Hagar. Well, we read in verse 5, and Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Well, we see here again family tension as a result of getting away from doing things God's way. A lot of family tension in the world today because people won't listen to what God has to say. Well, verse number 6, but Abraham said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand to do to her as it pleases thee. And then Sarai dealt hardly with her, and she fled from her face. Well, the thing we see here is Abraham refuses to take his God-given position of authority. He refuses to take his responsibility. And he says to her, to Sarah, just do as whatever pleases you with her. Well, she ends up running for her life. And in verse 7, we read the angel of the Lord found her. Well, that is Christ. We're not going to go through a big lesson on that right now, but this is the appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. And he found her by a fountain of water. This is the first time a fountain or a well of water has been mentioned in the Bible. It's an interesting study there if you want to do it. By a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Well, and he said unto Hagar, Sarah's maid. Now, he didn't say Abraham's wife. She's Sarah's maid. Whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarah. Well, the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress. He did not say return to thy husband. He said, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. Now, are you going to trust me or not? Just do it the way I say to do it, and I will take care of the situation. He went on to say, the Lord went on to say, the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. In verse 12 it says, and he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Well, you know, he shall be a wild man. Here we have a prophecy that's thousands of years old, referring to the two descendants of Abraham. Abraham had Ishmael. Abraham later had Isaac. And we find here that those two have been fighting about who really owns that property. And all you got to do is turn on the news and see what's going on, and you'll find out that the descendants are of Ishmael. Well, they're pretty wild over there, causing a lot of problems. Thousands of years ago, the Bible gave this prophecy. Is it any wonder the Bible says that the fool says no to God? The fool doesn't believe the Bible. God says that. I didn't say it. I'm just telling you what God said. Well, if you see verse number 13, she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, the God, thou God seeth me. She comes to the Lord, and she said, all right, I'm going to believe you. You said I should do what you should say to do. She went ahead and did what he told her to do. Verse 14, wherefore the well shall be called. Now, I'm not even going to pronounce that. That's a long word there. But what it means is the well of the living one, and it's referring to the Lord. And as I said, this is the first reference to a well in the Bible. There's a tremendous study here for you if you want to take it. Well, and again in verse 15, and Hagar bare Abraham a son, and Abraham called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. That is, at this point, Abraham is 86 years old. We see he's had his ups and downs, and he's going to be up spiritually as long as he stays close to God. And like all of us, when we get away from God, we get into trouble.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealed. revealing how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me. And I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angel singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song. Jesus.